Mr. Tom, thank you for taking a seat. Welcome, everyone. I will call to order the Coordination Committee Council meeting for Wednesday, August 7th at 1:30 p.m. Please stand and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. Ready? Begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the government for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you for all being here. At this time, I will open up public comment, and my first comment will be, first off, the forest supervisor from the Mendocino was unavailable. We're still trying to get a date that she can be here to discuss the issues. And to my knowledge, we don't have anyone here from Crane Mills to discuss those issues today also. And Mark, who would have comments, is unavailable. So with that, I will open up to public comment. Anyone wishing to speak before the board on non-agendized items, please do so.
I missed yesterday's Board of Supervisors meeting, so I got to say something.
Well, did you listen to how you were represented yesterday? And
No, I didn't get back into the computer to do that. I'm having trouble with my computer, and it's not cooperating with me right now.
Supervisor Bruce represented your questions very well.
Well, thank you. I will tell her thank you. But I'm going to go on water and the old same old stuff about losing our forest, okay? This county still has not recovered, and I don't believe ever will recover from when we lost those four mills. This is not... If we did not have the ag industry, the farmers and the ranchers, we would be a complete welfare county. And I believe we're only inches away from losing our agricultural production in this county, because I think we're going to lose the water. When Anderson is now shipping water south, okay, they have the same rules and regulation as this county against shipping groundwater south. Okay, but they're doing it because of greed. They're broke. They need the money to repair their infrastructure there. Okay, but that's just a start. We're going to lose our water here, and we will be the Owens Valley, and this agricultural that we are, that's only thing that we have left, will be gone. And then we'll be a complete disaster here and non-livable like they want. Thank you.
You still got 3 minutes, Tom. I forgot to turn my timer on. You could have spoke more. Okay. I gave you a reprieve today, and you don't have anything else to say. Yes, June, how are you?
Good morning, or afternoon. I'm fine. Because I want to talk on that yellow frog later. But Grants Pass, Oregon, the federal appeals court threw out the environmentalists and the federal government that were restoring and trying to protect species of the old growth forests. They threw them out because they were not protecting them and they were not doing any good, and so the court said that they could continue their logging and increase their logging. And this shows you that we can move forward. It was a trial, but we'll never do it in California because we don't have a governor that's helping us. They have a governor that's helping them, and we don't have that here, so we're on our own. And I don't know, with all the meetings we've attended lately, I don't see us going, I'm like Tom, I don't see us going forward too much with anything. It's nobody's fault except for when we were young, we should have paid more attention. Thank you.
Thank you, Jim. Mr. Les.
Good afternoon. I don't know whether you received it or looked at it yet, but I emailed Kelly.
Yes, I read it. It was very interesting. It was interesting to listen to, and I forwarded it on to some people that I know that are looking at it also.
Well, that's good. I just wanted to bring it to everybody's attention because it's something I've thought about some time ago, that if terrorists wanted to really raise havoc with us, they could start these huge forest fires, and economically, our resources to fight them and the resources lost. And so I think it's something that should be looked into.
And I did forward it to our fire chief here this afternoon, Jeff Shorey, so that he's got it. And I failed to send it to the sheriff, but I will do so as soon as this meeting is over.
Thank you.
And what Les is talking about is a video in regards to, it's a YouTube video discussing the potential of undesirable people using forest fires as a terrorist event against us. And it's a legislator that's talking about how it could be used. I'm sure that Les would forward you the email if you give him your email, that he can forward it to you. Anyone else wishing to speak before the board in public comment today? I forgot to mention also that Bob Williams is upstairs in another meeting, conflicting meetings today. And I think that's everybody else, but you're back from vacation. And so with that, I will close public comment and we will go to item three. Sean, you've got some comments?
Yeah, on item five.
Oh, you're item five.
Yeah,
okay. Item three, approval of minutes for July 5th and June 5th and July 3rd.
I'll move for July 3rd. I don't believe I should be on June 5th.
I'll second.
Okay. You going to second the second one?
Sure.
I have a motion and a second to approve the minutes of both dates by two individual board members. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye. Motion carried. Item four, new business. We have nothing scheduled, so we'll move to old business. And I believe, Mr. Moore, you're up first.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good afternoon, committee and members of the audience. After you guys gave us direction, the planning department, to draft a couple letters on the blackback woodpecker, staff discovered in your packets today, it's a large document, over 200 pages, and it looks like the state has denied the request by those groups to list the blackback woodpecker. So we just want to inform the committee and receive new direction if that's good enough, or do you want us to still send a letter, or that's what we're looking for direction, the planning department, on that item.
Well, it is not, how do you pronounce this correctly? It has been denied to be listed, so it right at the present time, it's not expected to be listed, or are they going to bring it back again?
We can keep monitoring the situation, but my understanding is it was denied by the State of California Department of Fish and Game and Wildlife not to be listed, based on information contained in the document.
Yes, June.
I think the government is moving faster than we are. We went to the meeting yesterday in Sonora in Tuolumne County. It was a public forum by, I just knew his name, now it skipped my mind. McClintock, Republican Representative McClintock. And he had, I believe, five people on his, he was on a platform. He had five people or six people in front of him, and he would ask them questions, and they were all knowledgeable people, except for the lady on the end that belonged to the Fish and Wildlife, and she was Wasn't that right?
Yeah.
Okay. And I'm not supposed to say anything against her? I'm sorry. She wasn't as knowledgeable as she should have been then, because every time they asked her a question, she had to say, well, I'm a supervisor, but we had to get information. We haven't got it. It's not all together, blah, blah, blah. And she just couldn't put it together. So anyhow, this yellow frog and the Yosemite toad, they're not even sure it's a Yosemite toad. I mean, that it's really a toad, whatever. Anyhow, it's going to shut down 2 million acres of the Sierra Nevadas. And believe you me, they tried up there on that podium to get them to say, couldn't they put that into the ground you've already shut down?
Excuse me, Joan, or I'm just, or Jean, right?
June,
I'm sorry. Have we moved to the
no,
second
we're still
item
on the,
two?
I might as well get her comments now rather than
okay.
coming back up.
Okay.
I thought that was the right one.
We're on the woodpecker, not on the old frog.
Oh, shoot. Now we're on the frog.
Not yet.
No. That's okay. Fine.
We haven't moved off the blackbird yet.
You want to finish the blackbird?
We have to.
Okay. I'll sit down then, huh?
Thank you, June.
Okay, Mr. Chairman. Real quick, I'll read the little section. This is from the Fish and Wildlife game. Having considered these factors, the department concluded that the best scientific information available to the department does not indicate that the black-back woodpecker's continuing existence is in serious danger or is threatened by any or any combination of the following factors found in relevant regulations. So basically, they denied the request to list it. And staff, we can monitor the situation, but I think, I don't know, we're looking for direction from the committee if you want to continue. Oh,
Roger.
Sean, is that before or after the summary, executive summary from March 13th of 2013? Because that one says that in the summary, but at the very, very end, it indicates that the Fish and Game Commission later on decided to review it, get more information, and possibly go forward with whether they're going to deny it or along with making it on the list.
I'm looking at the May 6th, 2013 memo. And then it's page, I believe it's packet page 14, and it says May 1st, 2013 on page 6.
Okay,
yeah.
My recommendation would be we just monitor it. Let Sean's office monitor it. We're going to know if it comes back.
One point that I would be really interested in, if you read the Fish and Game review, California Fish and Wildlife review and all that information, I mean, they give no indication at all of why it would be listed. The Fish and Game Commission didn't even look at it. But then somewhere along the line, they decided to look at it, even with Fish and Game not recommending the issue. So, I mean, somewhere along the line, somebody or some organization had to pull some strings at the Fish and Game Commission to change their mind and look at it.
You know, all that takes is a letter.
But, I mean, I would really like to know who that is. I mean,
you may never know.
Is there any way to find out, John? And it has to be somebody pretty powerful, because usually the state fish and game goes along with fish and wildlife and, environmental groups, pretty much.
We could try to look in to find out why it was reconsidered. That's something we can call down there and ask them. That's not a problem. I don't know where the...
Plus pages, there was some letters from environmental outfits, and I would suspect that one of those was the one that precipitated them.
I'll have to admit, I stopped at page 141.
It was amazing.
It was quite a lengthy document. I think there's a lot of pressures from those groups, and so that's probably why they reconsidered it.
Sylvia?
One thing that
you might think about is sending a letter, going ahead and sending a letter and saying that the county of Tehama thanks you for not listing that, and that we would like to go on record and have this letter be held in the file that we would be against that before they ever do it again. So
we already sent the letter opposing.
Okay.
You know, and now they did uphold our request.
Okay.
You know.
That's fine, then. I just wanted to make sure that we were on record as being against this.
We are.
And that would be. Okay.
I kind of agree with Sylvia and send a letter to him thanking him for using some common sense.
And put us on notice.
And this matter comes around again, we expect to be notified so we can look into the matter on our own. I mean, I'll agree with Roger. I read most of it. But, you know, there's a lot of...
Redundancy
and a lot of... science that says, you know, they're adaptable to a lot of different habitats. So, it'd be my recommendation.
We can do that. The planning department can send a letter, you know, thanking them and let them know and reiterate our position, the county's position.
Or should it be from the Board of Supervisors?
I think that was the direction last time, was to take it, the letter to the Board of Supervisors. That's why we brought it back to you for your consideration, considering the change in the circumstances.
Yeah, I think it should be from the board.
Yeah, it should be from the Board of Supervisors. So if you want to write up a sample and get it on board for as soon as we can.
Okay.
Consensus enough, or do you want a motion?
I think you took a motion last time, so yeah, I'd probably need a motion.
Well, I'll make the motion a letter be submitted to the board for approval to be forwarded to Fish and Wildlife or whatever jurisdiction is appropriate.
I'll second that.
Moved and seconded. Bill. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye. Motion carried. And now, June, we'll let Sean report on the yellow-legged frog, and then we'll open it up for comments.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and Board Committee. After you guys took a motion last month, we looked in the Federal Registry, and the comment period to send a letter to the U.S. Fish and Wildlife had expired. So we wanted to get further direction from the committee on do you still want us to send a letter, send it up to the board, or would you want us to monitor the situation? Because usually they do not accept letters after, I believe, county, they do not accept letters after the comment period is closed. And the time we received the letter and correspondence and the action, because our monthly meetings, it was too late to...
I was just going to mention that the comment period is for the initial evaluation, and then the evaluation takes place over a period of time. Typically, it's a whole year from what research I did. And at that point, they do then again open it up for public comment before taking any action. So it's not like all is lost by not having sent a letter prior to the evaluation period deadline. I believe that this committee and the board would be in a good position to make further comment at the end of the evaluation period. So that was basically the reason why Mr. Moore did not take any action at this point, just to determine where you all wanted it to go from here.
Okay. June, can you give us any update on yesterday's meeting on if there was any decision from McClintock?
By sending that letter, I wouldn't drop that letter. I would definitely send it to McClintock, because he had a whole bunch of things that people were commenting on the frog at that meeting, and you could write your comments down. And there was no deadline on anything. So send it to McClintock. That's your best chance of it piling up, you know, of not losing, not being behind or not losing. If you just send it to him and tell him, refer that we decided we were too slow or we were too late on it, and we want to voice our opinion on it, so go for it. Okay. Now, you want to do that now, motion or whatever, or you want to drop it? I don't know what you're going to do.
We like your dancing. We have a show today.
Oh, I haven't moved for 3 days. I've been sitting. Okay. Well, anyhow, can I continue with this before you decide that, or are you going
to... I have to ask, June, what's McClintock's stand on the frog?
Oh, McClintock is there trying to put the frog under the ground and get rid of him.
Okay.
Yes, he supports us entirely.
Okay.
He has been out to more than one thing. He talked to... Columbia. He talked in Columbia. He talked a small place in Sonora. He's going to talk in Angels Camp tomorrow, or today, I guess. Today in Angels Camp. He's trying to hit as many places as he can, and LaMoffa is going to try to do this part up here, I guess. LaMoffa's going to try to do. We didn't get too much on him, but McClintock, he had another representative with him. I don't remember the man's name, that was all for us, too. By the way, these guys are all from Southern California. They've had it because they've got Sierras down there, too. And I see this is printed wrong here. Tom just gave me the printout on the meeting yesterday, and it said that Tuolumne and Fresno were the two counties that were in trouble, and it's not. It's Tuolumne and Calaveras were the biggest amount they were taking was from those two counties, but it goes from the top of California right on down to the bottom of the Sierras. They want all that ground. And
who's they, June?
Wildlife, fish and game, the environmentalists, the Forest Service. Is there anybody I left out?
2 million acres.
Yeah, there's 2 million acres that they're taking, that they think they're taking. And they've already acquired a lot because of what they already have. See, so we got a big problem here. They're trying to drive the people out of the mountains, of the Sierras. That's their objective.
Would it be safe to say, June, that we should have staff contact LaMalfa's office and prepare a letter after that conversation to the Board of Supervisors in protesting the yellow-legged frog?
Sure.
Okay.
Sure.
Is consensus enough, or...
Well, what do you think? We should still send a letter to Fish and Wildlife.
The letter will go to everybody.
And McClintock.
Yeah. It'll be CC'd to everybody, but...
Yeah. Part of this what they're talking about is Lassen Forest also. There's portions of the Lassen Forest that they want to put in there. Okay, none of it in Tama County, it's in Shasta County. Okay?
Shasta or Plumas?
Shasta.
But it's
it says it goes from Shasta down to I don't know, I had it on here. Tulare. It goes from Shasta to Tulare that they want almost 2 million acres. Now, part of that is already, you know, for the for the owl and this. And they say that this will not restrict us from using that forest. It's the same thing they did on the owl, okay? And you can see what the owl did, okay? It's the same kind of listing, okay? And so that's going to mess it up. But see, they're using false science down there, and they brought it out. And see, the Forest Service thinks they're crazy that there's no, they shouldn't be listing this because see, it's their own trout that they put in there is one of the things that are killing the frog and a disease. Okay, that's what's killing it. But now they want to not let grazing be allowed, okay? Because, you know, that's one of their, they want to stop, it seems like, to keep the ranchers from using that forest, okay? And there's no science to back up that those cows have done any damage, and there was a person there who came in support of it and showing that it helped. Where the cows weren't in the park, there were no frogs, okay? But on the forest, there was, okay? So anyway, it was more to do with the disease and one of the trouts that were killing the frogs.
Okay, Sylvia?
I think before they... that
decision, Sylvia has the floor, June.
Oh. Sorry, June. One comment that I wanted to make, that according to the coordination, that government-to-government comments can be made any time during the process. You don't have to adhere to the deadline.
Okay. June?
Okay. Lost track now.
Are we a listed county in the yellow-legged frog controversy?
Actually, I think all of California is in it, because we've all got to stand together, and to divide us up is a mistake. So anybody that is against this frog should send something in, whether you're supervisors or city council. If you're against shutting down America, you should send it in, because this is getting bad. They have too much power, and they are shoving it left and right. It's terrible. They send somebody up there that really doesn't know anything, and at the end of the day, they walk out thinking they won, because they know they have more than we do. They have more money, they have more people, and the way they're investigating this toad frog, I believe, they take the people out of the college that are just getting started in environmental issues, and they contract them to go out and walk up and down these Sierra Nevada mountains or wherever they're going to hit and write down everything. And these people don't know Sikkim from Shinola, because we've talked to some of them. They party, they have a good time, and they say, oh yeah, la 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 la. And at the end of the day, they write their paper really strict, and they spotted this there and that there and this there. And there's nobody to go in and find out what they're really doing. The Fish and Game contracts that out, and they accept what is given to them without question at all. By who? And this is where we're losing, because we don't say, they did yesterday, hey, where'd you get that information? And she says, oh, we contracted out. Well, who to? Oh, I'm not going to tell you that. And so, you see, they just want to beat around the barrel. But if you're worried about sending something that isn't, that you don't think you have a right to send, you do have a right to send.
No, that's not the issue at all, Jim.
Okay. And you're not too late on sending it. You're not too late. There's going to be another one this fall or early in the spring. Somewhere early in the spring or this fall, there's going to be another meeting, and another, you know, like what we had yesterday. Okay. I'm not too sure where they're going to hold it, but it's there. But I'll tell you, I know you're not really, Sylvia is, but the rest of you probably aren't familiar with Mark Brad from Siskiyou County. He was there, and he traveled all the way down to be on that board, and he holds no office, he holds no anything. You know, I guess he has now applied to be the deputy sheriff, but he has been fighting up there to save the dams and to save Siskiyou County, and he went down there, and even though he was not interested too much in the frog, they let him talk on what he is interested in and what he does know about everything and how we're being taken over. So if we don't all stand together on this, we're in trouble. And that's what McClintock said. We've got to stand together. So every little bit counts. This should be brought up even to the city council, because everybody that can send something in is more power to us. That's all I have to say.
Thank you, Joan.
Thank you.
It's the pleasure of the board.
Mr. Chairman, sure. Thankfully I have my smartphone, and I looked up what Congressional Member McClintock and others, they're at requesting to the Fish and Wildlife Service at a 120-day extension, so everyone can get mobilized and send in their comments. So that's, I think, June, that's what he was, and it's called the Yosemite Toad as well. So the yellow-legged frog and the Yosemite Toad. And in that, so he's requesting, well, maybe if, at the pleasure of the committee, is we send a request for an extension, and we can also send our additional comments as well, that we support not listing it as a threatened species, the yellow-legged frog. And it is, it does impact our county.
Very good.
And let's, while we're doing it, just mention that we are invoking coordination on that.
Yeah. Put coordination in there and make them come to us. See if they do it this time.
Okay. And we would need an action on that. We would need an action.
You want that in the form of a motion or a consensus?
Yes, motion would be great. Thank you.
You want to make a motion, Bill?
I make a motion that we send that letter and invoke coordination and voice our support for this 120-day extension and our proposal to the listing.
Okay. Second? Moved and seconded? Roger. Yeah, Tom?
Before you do that, I don't know if it makes any difference, and we should stick together on it. The whole North State or the whole state should, but there is, they don't list Tehama County as being in this, okay? That we're not in anything affected, but that park and the woods is ours.
And that's,
you know,
why we're taking the action.
Yeah. I mean, you know, they do, but I mean, so I don't know what legally we have any standing in that. I don't
know.
What
we can do is submit the letter and see what happens.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, I have a motion and a second. Did you have any comments on this?
No,
he answered your question. Okay, and no additional comments. We are going
to... Mr. Chairman, also, before you go, direction to staff to send it to the board, correct?
Send it to the board so it can be approved by the Board of Supervisors to forward to McClintock and all the other agencies.
Correct.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye. Motion carried. Okay, so we got that one. In regards to item 6, Plumas National, we didn't have anybody here.
I think we had the general plan.
This is the general. All right.
Mr. Chairman, we're okay.
All right, 5, number 3, update on discussion on action regarding direction to conduct scoping meeting and public hearings regarding general plan policy, general plan amendments pertaining to the no net loss policy.
Mr. Chairman and committee, I think we're fine on that. We have our direction, and we're good. I don't think we need that item.
Okay.
Been handled last hearing.
Very good. So now we go to number 6, Plumas National Forest. At last week's Board of Supervisors meeting, Jerry Bird from the Lassen was here and gave a presentation. He is committed to working with the 6 agencies that he interacts with: Tehama, Plumas, Lassen. Is it 5 agencies? Anyway, he's committed to working with that, and apparently, unless Sylvia has something else, things are in fact moving forward slowly.
Yeah, I do. After Jerry went back from the meeting here last week, there were some changes made. They tried to say that they had completed subpart A when they did subpart B. Not legal. Not legal. And Recreation Outdoors Coalition wrote a letter to Randy Moore in regards to that, and he evidently called the Lassen because there was a big shakeup over there. They are going to be doing subpart A like everybody else, and they've been given a little huss on getting to work on their changing or looking at the ML3 roads. And one of the guys on my management team, Dick Tapman, who is retired from the Lassen and is a traffic engineer, is going to be working with the Lassen on teaching them how to do and express type of engineering analysis, and because they're thinking they have to do a full-blown engineering analysis, and they do not. So he's going to be working with them on how to expedite it so that we can get these decisions made right away, because, as you all know, Jerry Bird is retiring the end of the year, and we want to make sure it's done by them then. So we have to keep kind of gently pushing them, but letting them know we want them to come back every 60 days with an update on it, or 30 days, whatever, because it has to be done.
Okay. We did get a definition of front country versus other country, and that's basically Ponderosa Way. Everything east of Ponderosa Way is the mountains, and everything west of Ponderosa Way is front country. We got a definition of, what do they call it, off the camping.
Dispersed camping.
What was it?
Dispersed camping.
Yeah, dispersed camping, that they were not going to enforce dispersed camping on Ponderosa Way to the east, that if you drove off the road farther than your car length, they weren't going to hammer you with it. And I thought it was a very good meeting that we had last week at the Board of Supervisors. You were here, weren't you, Roger?
No. They also assured us that either they have, that Turner Mountain Loop has been signed or it's going to be signed. So that's still on the radar screen. Want to make sure that we stay on top of that.
And the section on the Turner Mountain Loop that is not dual access road, there is another road available to still traverse it. That's what we were told. You know, and I mean, I don't know how to question the man's word other than he stood right there at the podium and said there is alternate routes. So,
not true.
Well, I don't know how to combat that.
I know.
And
I know.
Our trails guy for the county says that it is true. So, you know.
Well, they sent me a map. And looking at the map they sent me, because Heather had told us, or Jerry had told us when he was here last July, that if we wanted that road open, we could have it open. Well, he did not designate or say exactly what that meant. If you look at the maps, you can go on those level two roads, but it's absolutely absurd how they've done it. There is a portion there that you can't get anywhere. You can't go anywhere because it's ML3 road. There's no reason why that whole loop cannot be designated. And that was what I believed when he said he was going to open up the area, what he meant. But when I got the maps, when Heather sent me the maps, it was the same old thing. And I said, you haven't made any changes.
Well, I have no idea. So.
Yeah, I can bring that and show it to you.
Well, part of the problem is their maps are not up to date.
Yeah, we know that.
No. And he recognized that, too, when he was asked about the enforcement. I mean, how can you enforce, you know, some of these laws when the maps, you know, the enforcer can't even read the maps properly, so, or not read them properly, but they're not correct.
Mm-hmm. I would also question the front country. They got a grant for $200,000+ to do the front country because they'd been telling us, they'd asked ROC for several years to adopt that area and to do a plan for it, but we just had too many irons in the fire and couldn't do it. They said that the front country was in desperate need of getting some things done. So they got this huge grant. And then when they decided that they didn't have the time or whatever to go ahead and do something there, all of a sudden it's not a big deal. So I kind of wondered how come a year or 2 years ago it was, oh my gosh, we got to do something or we're going to have to close that area, to all of a sudden the area is fine.
Well, I didn't get that the area was fine. I got that they don't have the manpower or the resources to go spend the money. You know.
Okay, because I listened to it, and I listened to the meeting last week, and I got the impression that he felt like there was no immediate problem at Front Country, so they were just going to allow status quo.
He specifically said something about the front country, that there would be no new ones, and they were going to try to maintain the ones that were there, but they didn't have the manpower to go in and do it.
Well, with the $200,000+ they got, you'd think they'd contract it out.
Well, that's beyond our control.
Yeah. On the Lassen National Forest website, they only have two dispersed camps in that area. Both of them in or around...
One of them at Yellow Jacket and one of them...
Black Rock.
Black Rock and Yellow Jacket.
Campgrounds.
Those are undeveloped campgrounds. Dispersed camping is where you just pull off into the forest where some deer hunter 10 years ago built a fire ring.
Right.
And Lassen Forest does not have any real dispersed primitive camping. I mean, so the whole Lassen Forest, unless you want to go down into the brushy country down along Ishii, you're SOL. Not everybody likes to camp in a campground with half a dozen or two dozen other people.
Anyway, that's our report from him last week. I don't know what else we can do with it.
I think that we can possibly ask them to come back and give us a little bit better definition because new information has come up. They also showed us pictures of the front country area where people had actually brought in concrete and made a patio for their campers or for their tents, and they showed us buckets of excrement that people left. So to them it was, you know, a real problem at front country. I don't know what they've done to handle those things then.
Where were these pictures shown? They weren't shown here.
But I've seen them. I was over at the SO's office, and they showed them to me when they tried to get us to adopt the area and showed us that these are the problems that they're having there.
Oh, I'm unaware that was not mentioned at all.
Maybe we should invite them back and have another discussion with them.
Well, it probably needs to be at this meeting, not the board
meeting.
Yes,
no, this one.
Can you see if that can be arranged, Kelly? Okay. And stay on top of the others, too. I think while we're discussing it, we might as well stay on top of the one for the Mendocino and the Shasta T and the Lassen. If there's any updates, to please come to this meeting, not to the Board of Supervisors. Because this is where the discussions can be held. Yes, ma'am.
Are we also going to talk about Broken Shire?
How's the time?
I sent in a letter, a draft letter, an example letter, maybe that we could vote for the Board of Supervisors to send out. Broken Shire is extremely important to us in several reasons. They're going to be doing a lot of extraction of the wood there and doing FDZ, I think it is, there behind the homes, and that's excellent. That's an excellent idea. I agree with everything else they're doing. My concern is the one road just beyond the slide between 172 and Mill Creek that they're talking about closing or turning into a trail. That is one route that we really need to stay on top of and have them give us a more specific of what they're going to do there, because that's part of the Share the Dream Trail that we eventually were doing all these little things slowly to get us in place to do the Share the Dream Trail.
And so do you want to make a motion to that and have a letter drafted? What's your...
I've sent in a sample letter for us, and it's in the notes.
Right.
Yeah, I'd like to see us perfect it. You know, that's just a draft letter. And send it to the Lassen to let them know that we are very interested in the Broken Shire project and we want to keep abreast of everything that's going on there. And we want to make sure that when they put that trail in, that it's OHV trail perfect.
Okay, so I'll take that as a motion.
Okay.
And does someone want to second it to direct staff to write the letter to the Board of Supervisors so it can be sent?
I'll second that.
Moved and seconded to write the letter to the Board of Supervisors regarding Broken Shire. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye. Motion carried. Okay. So, Gary Antone's not here for an ML3 update. However, they are working with the five counties. And with Sylvia's comments earlier, direction from Randy Moore, they're going to have to redo something. So, and I believe at 5 o'clock tonight, Tom, is that 5:30 tonight is a road designation meeting in the Shasta Trinity, and Sylvia will be there.
At the veterans center, ready.
Okay. So at next month, we can get an update on the Shasta from you, Sylvia. Okay. So that takes care of the Shasta Trinity. Anything else on the Shasta Trinity?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
Update on Begley. Fish and Game, I guess, has been giving the Shasta T, not really a runaround, they're just not doing anything. And they've requested a number of things from the forest. So the forest went out and hired an independent contractor to work with Fish and Game to get that done. And I think, you know, that's another one where we need to stay on top of it and let them know that we expect a report from them every so often because it's a project that we're really interested in.
Okay. Any other update on the Shasta? Yeah. Moving to the Mendon.
They're going to have a new supervisor.
They're all going to have, they're all retiring on us. Which is going to be present some big problems.
Yeah. Yes, it has its negatives and its positives, but Al Olson, who's taking it temporarily, is a good guy to work with, and the new guy coming in, I've heard nothing but good things about him. So we're hoping that the projects we have going, which is Begum and Bagley, will continue to move forward and we'll get some changes made.
The other thing, they, just to back up a little bit on Shasta, they did do the salvage sale on the Bagley fire, too. So they've got that material moving out. That was approved. Whether or not we get an environmental action against it, we don't know. But at least the sale was approved. And since he's walking in the door right now, trying to get in here quietly, the last item is the Mendocino. Supervisor Williams, do you have any update for the Mendocino? Okay. Anyone else? Sean, do you have anything else for this board?
No, I do not, Mr. Chairman.
Board members, anything else? Yes, Sylvia?
I'm not sure if you guys are aware or not, but they are talking and working quietly to create a huge wilderness area that runs all the way up to the west side of us, clear up into Oregon. That's going to be a yellow-legged frog for us.
No, that's the extension of the owl property. We're very much aware of that. We've already opposed it.
Well, they called it a wilderness area, a new wilderness area, when I got the information this last week out of Washington, D.C.
Well, I don't know about that one, but they tried to, they 3 months ago, they tried to take 17 million more acres for the owl, which I think is going to parallel what your name changes.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to stay on top of it.
Yeah.
Sheriff, you have anything?
No, sir.
You had good timing, sir. I'll let you adjourn.
We're adjourned.
Item 9. There's no one here from the Mendocino.
You told me last month I had 3 minutes, and the man that's missing is he's the conflict of the interest of what my problem is, and that's the reason why he's not here.
No, we're not going to go into name calling, sir.
Well, but I know that all these people are here.
Okay, I will reopen. Please come to the podium and state your case.
I was told last month that I was at the right place, but that I had 3 minutes and you had to put it on the agenda.
That's correct, sir.
For everybody would have time to get here and have their people here to do exactly what these people here. One of my main reasons why I'm here is the man that's the only man is sitting there missing and Crane Mills.
He no longer works for Crane Mills, sir.
Yeah, but he was there. And the problem I've got here, and there. So what?
Well, I don't know how to proceed, sir. I mean,
do I have to tell all these people here now that we got to come back in a month, or when are they going to be here?
We don't know, sir. We asked for the Forest Service to be here. They have not returned our call. We have asked this gentleman talk to the sheriff. He couldn't be here today. We're at the mercy of everybody else. We cannot demand people be here. We can request. And you were, last month, you tried to make a comment during public comment and have 3 minutes, mm-hmm. And I agree with that. And now, I'm sorry, I missed the agenda item, but I missed it because nobody here from Mendocino. But you have the floor.
Even if I have the floor, which I'd love to make my statements and show the proof that I have, is it going to be meaningless that they're not here?
They will get it secondhand or third hand, and I would say that you probably are correct, sir. If they don't get it firsthand.
Okay.
I'll put it on the record.
Unless you can want to testify to the record, you can do that, and it'll be here, but then we don't know if they're not sitting in the room, if they've ever heard it. But that's up to you, sir.
Well, Mark Pritchard was here last month, so he heard that I was talking about the patrol officer that's behind the gates handing out the tickets, and Crane getting away with as much as he can and trading his land to the Forest Service for nice new trees for strip land, and that's part of the problem. And so,
I'm curious about the tickets. You want to talk about the tickets?
The tickets?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. These maps that I have here show, like I explained, a big area, which is the Mendocino Forest. And I can see now our problem is probably small compared to what these other forests is going through, but it is our Forest Service is helping people like Crane Mills, other mills. They've had, somehow they got misdirected in what their job is actually all about, is that they're hired by the taxpayer to take care of our forest. And they have not got that feeling. It's like it's their forest and we're intruding to them. During the last 40 years that my brother and I have been in this forest, hunting, recreation, we have seen, plus also the last 5 to 6 captains on engine 34 and 35, I love the word when you used common sense a little bit ago, it's not coming from me, these captains have always said the word common sense and the National Forest Service do not go together. It just does not happen. And these come from the captains. And they're watching the lands being taken from us. Now, Sherry Toon is the new forest supervisor. I understand she is very good at her job. Haven't talked to her. She just started last year. I hope that her agenda is not like Thomas A. Contreras. He totally destroyed and is helping destroy our Mendocino Forest. We had two fire Cold Springs Ranger Station and Log Springs Ranger Station that he totally put down and put Cold Springs completely on the ground, shut down both stations, brought both crews down into the middle of the town that I live in, Pascana, and put them down there in the middle of 110 plus degrees when they should be up in our forest protecting our forest. We have the California National Forest that is in charge of the valley. National Forest is supposed to be charging the hill, but yet they're further in the valley than CDF is in Pascana. We've watched Contreras trade off land to Crane Mills to be able to put his gates. And I have maps here. I'd like to leave one with you, if it's possible, of everything I'm talking about, from gates that are on National Forest Service land, there are crane gates. There are gates within this national forest. In 1946, Crane Mills moves to Pascana. He bought some individual private land within it. He cannot be landlocked, just like anybody can. So we, in the national forest, should have to give him easement rights to get to his property. But it's gone the other way around now. All these roads were built with timber sales. Leo Whitlock will testify. He says, I can't believe the Crane's locking these up. We built these roads. He built these roads, and all of them are built by timber sales. Yet Crane has now negotiated enough. He started out putting a little gate here and a little gate there, testing the waters. But in the last 5 years, he's been putting gates everywhere. I am one of the only legal hunters that can hunt from Cold Springs Ranger Station to Thomas Pocket, because you have to be 100 feet off the road to even shoot a gun. I am disabled. I can shoot across my steering wheel. But all the rest of hunters are violating because Forest Service, Thomas A. Contreras, that's what I got to say, has given away this land to Crane Mills, Bob Crane to be exactly, and his family. Now, he just did a real good trade in 98 for three little parcels down Middle Ridge that he could put a gate on, which blocked off the whole area all the way across to Elk Ridge. We own, and I've got maps here, we own all his properties within it, but we can't get to it because he's got his gate in the way. But that's our road. It goes from Crane Mills Forest Service, Crane Mills Forest Service. But he puts his gate here. We can't get in. I've got gentlemen out here that's got tickets, $170 plus, just being caught behind that gate.
And who wrote that?
That man right there. Mark Pritchard. He sends in to the district attorney, because Crane Mills has got enough pull with a district attorney, that all he's got to do is have Mark Pritchard say, I saw Roger Salberg behind that gate, and I get a ticket for $100-some-odd.
I disagree with that, sir.
Really?
So they sent it to you in the mail?
It comes in the mail, yeah.
You have a copy of it?
I can get you the gentleman that got the ticket.
Yeah, we'd like to know.
Right there. I know another one that got the ticket, but they didn't
pursue it. Got a ticket from who?
From Fish and Game Officers, and Crane Mills had come to his residence.
Okay.
Easy, you know, I mean.
And there's another one.
Okay, hold on a second. I just want to clarify something.
Right.
That's a little different than Mark Pritchard calling the DA and the DA office.
Well, he don't call him.
But that could happen, yes. Mark Pritchard could call Fish and Game. They could investigate the incident and author a ticket.
But it's not
Fish and Game
out.
Is even in behind the gate handing out tickets for Crane Mills.
For hunter trespass?
Yeah, for trespassing behind that gate.
Okay.
And what they did is they misused the law.
We should give him... Oh, excuse me, I'm sorry.
I can't... Don't quote me, but I think Crane Mills actually has a security guard that patrols that area.
Probably does.
He does.
Right there.
I don't
right
think
there.
I don't think it's actually Mark himself.
I can give you all the names.
Well, I know. I'm pretty sure that they have a specific security guard up there.
Jimmy Van Sickle is doing it right now. Mark Pritchard, Mark Duncan, Jeff May, and Howard Kramer all have worked in that patrol car telling people to get out.
Well, no, wait a minute. Telling people to get out and writing citations is two different issues. Okay?
Yeah.
To tell somebody to get out is one thing, but to write the paper, and that's what we need right now, is who's writing what paper?
These
sounds like fishing game.
These gentlemen only give that to the district attorney. From what I was told, I guarantee you I haven't got a ticket, but I'm sure they're after me because I'm the biggest voice for all these disabled people that have been through there. I'm one of the loudest speakers, that's all. So
well, we appreciate you.
I've been told by Bob Crane to get out of his office. When I went in there to ask him to open the gates, he says, "You're here to get a key, aren't you?" And I says, "No. I'm asking you to open the gates for I can get into my land." He says, you can walk in there. I'm not stopping you." I says, "I'm disabled. I cannot walk in there. I can see that we're going to have a problem. I want you to leave my office." And so I left his office.
Okay. Please come to the podium, sir.
In the ticket that he's requested, that he's talking about, we went down a national forest road. I can't remember the exact numbers of that road, but if I could look at his map, I can tell you what number it was. We got down there, got behind a Crane Mills gate, drove less than a quarter mile, had Mr. Van Sickle stop us, ask us how we got in there. We showed him the way we got in there. He says, "You can't come in that way. That's your trespassing." I said, "Okay, Jimmy, show us the way out so we don't destroy anything." He led us back up to the top. I showed him the way we came in. 5 days later or 6 days later, we have a fishing game officer show up to the house asking, you know, what happened. We tell him what happened. He cited us, and I'm not sure about how the law is, but if it's hearsay, if it doesn't stand up in court. Am I right?
Not necessarily.
Okay.
If
the officer is the one signing the ticket, or is it Jimmy Van Sickle signing the ticket?
Well, it kind of depends on what you said. If you admitted to being there, you admitted to, it was a 100 trespass deal?
No, it was driving a motor vehicle behind a locked gate.
Okay.
Which there was no sign saying no trespassing, no motorized vehicles, none of that. We didn't even know we were behind a locked gate when we got in there until Jimmy drove us out through the gate and we came all the way back up to the top to the stick that said it was in 20.
I can give that 24 and 17. And yeah, that started out at the very top at Ball Rock. It goes down, it used to go down five roads. Right offhand, I got the road at the very end of where it is. But over the last five, well, actually longer than that, he's been slowly trying to put them to sleep. So the road that he went in on stopped at what we call, or is called Mitchell Corral. Crane Mills dug up a trench bigger than this area here on Forest Service land, not on Crane Mills land. If I was to go and take a little bobcat in there, I'd still be in jail. Yet how does he get away with doing all these trenches, diggings on Forest Service land? Well, anyway, where this trench is at, that road went five roads down. That's how he went down what was always there for 40-plus years that we're known. And that's how he was behind the gate and didn't realize it.
And exactly, didn't realize that we were back there. We were really polite to him, said, you know, if we would have known we were behind, you know, lock gate, we wouldn't be here. Like I said, 5 to 7 days later, the game warden shows up at the house, asks us, you know, we're not going to lie to him. Yeah, we were back there. We didn't realize we were back there. We were instructed by Jimmy to go to Crane and talk to Mark and tell Mark, hey, you know, we were back here on this date, didn't realize this is the way we came in, didn't realize we were back on there, didn't realize we weren't supposed to be there. And then after we did that, the game warden shows up to the house and doesn't cite us in person. We never received a ticket in the mail or anything. All we get is a summons to go to court.
Well, if I may, Mr. Chairman.
Sure.
We could probably debate and talk about law and or on the criminal side of the law with tickets and stuff all day long, but I think the issue you guys are all here about is the closure or non-closure of those roads and
right.
legally how that can happen. So,
right.
you know, we probably need to stick to that.
Okay.
That
well,
issue, because you are before
road,
the right group.
If that road is a National Forest Road, how can Crane Mills close a National Forest Road?
That's a very good question.
Very good question.
Because there's more than just that one road that's closed in there now.
I have, from Bruce Smith,
thank you.
Roads that were supposedly closed, and he's saying that they're closed to both everybody. And I've been trying to get people, well, come on in, I'll show you they're still there. All the roads that we had in there behind Johnson Cabin, we own it probably 80% of that land back there. We can't even get to it by one gate. Can't even get to it.
Okay, Sylvia, how do we have an allegation here in regards to private versus public lands.
Well, who gets the easement?
Well, hold on. I got to ask counsel, okay?
Sylvia
is our counsel, because right now, sir, this is way above this board, okay? So I'm trying to ask directions to see where do we go, where do we hold the proper meetings, how do we find out who is what, and what is what, so that we can maybe move forward to a conclusion that somebody might like, or they may not like.
The taxpayer would love to hear.
Okay.
Yeah.
But my question is and correct me, sir, if I'm wrong, you talk about my land or our land.
Right.
You're talking about Forest Service land.
Well, this is the problem, is that Forest Service thinks it's their land, but it's really our land.
Who's,
they're supposed to be
our?
Taking the taxpayer.
No.
Everybody in this. That's our land. The Forest Service is supposed to be taking care of the forest
public
land.
It's public land.
Public.
Right.
All right.
Do you have a piece of private land inside this?
And it's Crane Mills.
No, not Crane Mills. Do you or anybody else? I'm trying to get to definitions, sir.
Mm-hmm.
Private land.
Right.
That you may own inside a piece of public land.
Public land.
And then Crane land.
That's,
okay.
The private land is Crane land.
Okay.
Within
the public land.
Land, yeah.
But
okay.
They have, in some fashion, fenced it or gated it.
Gated it.
And therefore limited access to people.
Only people are allowed in that land.
Limited.
Hunting
okay.
in on public land also, because it goes right through, is Crane Mills, Crane Mills friends, family.
Limited. That's
limited people.
Limited people.
They have that
okay.
key access to get into our land, our public land.
So my question, Sylvia, is where do we go to find out who can legally block access to public land?
I think the first thing we need to do is, as the coordination committee, verify the ownership of all the land that is being presented here, verify the road and the roads that are affected, and whether those are truly open roads through Forest Service land. We need to know a lot of information before it could ever be vetted to a point where you could even get direction. Clearly, when a road is being blocked and it's a public road, and I'm talking about a county road or a federal road, like in a road service, there needs to be some clarification on why that was closed. And if the Forest Service is not aware that their road is being closed, that then presents a different issue, another issue. And I think this committee could make the Forest Service aware of the problem. As to the lands and access to the lands, there could typically be an easement or some other conservation, most likely it's a conservation easement. I don't know that that I'm aware of anyone owning property concurrently, like on federal or U.S. land, like in a forest. I think there has to be a clear understanding of what the ownership status is before any action could be taken. But as far as this committee is concerned, I think more information needs to be gathered, and if this committee can apprise the Forest Service of a situation involving, as Sylvia works on her ML3 roads and keeping those roads, those are the kinds of things that we can do here as a committee. I think if it becomes a title issue, or that is very much a civil issue that we would not be able to get involved in. So again, I think we don't have enough information to evaluate.
Sean, would you be willing to work with this gentleman and his maps, and then get the Forest Service maps and combine a presentation to this board on your findings, and then we move forward? Is that how we best do it?
Yeah, I'm just curious. I would like to see the maps also, because it may be such a thing as the Forest Service decommissioned those roads at the property line for the at Crane's property line, so that anything beyond that gate has been decommissioned. I don't know. We'd have to find that out, because they've done that in the past. They've decommissioned those roads, and then they allow gate to be put on it on the private land.
Bruce Smith works for the Forest Service, and he has sent me, which is in this paperwork that you see, roads that have been supposedly, they don't exist, and then limited easement roads that are for just Crane. But supposedly, the limited easement, I wouldn't think, belongs to his family, friends, and whoever wants to hunt with his key, and we can't, to get to ours. I'm sure that's the reason why Crane didn't show up, is he knew that this is probably not going to affect him at all.
I wouldn't speculate on why Mark's not here, but...
He needs Bob to back him, so...
Mr. Chairman, and if you recall last month, Gary Antone, the Public Works Department, was going to take his maps, review them, and get back, because they have the GIS component to help the review those maps, and then we come back. Planning can certainly work with Public Works to come up with a determination. I was reading the minutes, and it's in the minute. Gary, unfortunately, couldn't be here today, but Gary's department was going to work with them.
He's on vacation.
Yeah.
Did Gary take any of your maps last week?
He didn't have. He was to bring the gentleman was to bring them back today, and we were going to take them and discuss them. Yeah.
So can you take them for him and
yes.
get them to Gary?
And then you can coordinate with the Public Works. And they have the GIS. And
so this is going to be a long process, sir. This is not something that, don't get me wrong. Thank you for bringing it to us, and we want to try to help, because we've got a number of issues that it has very definitely raised the hair on the back of our head that things ain't right.
Well, I can see by listening to June and what's happening in the Shasta, Trinity, and the other forests, is that they're trying to be shut down, and they are getting shut down.
Yeah,
maybe
and
ours
we agree.
Is a little bit different than theirs, but it's still everything is happening. Our national forest, for 40 years, we used to enjoy. It is not there now. Yet it's still.
We
there.
Understand that
we cannot use it. We can't see it. We can't enjoy it like we have.
Everyone wants to buy.
In every.
Hey, sir, we have a gentleman at the podium waiting. If you want to speak, come on up.
Yes, my name is Gerald Snook. I'm a former Red Bluff resident. 22-year Navy retired. Now I'm disabled. As Roger was saying, the roads, they put the gates up and dig the ditches and stuff, and healthy young people, they can get out and walk past those gates. But the people of us that can't walk are disabled, they're totally discriminating against us, and it's not fair to us. We pay as much taxes, work just as hard for our country so we can have our hunting rights, and people like Crane Mills just close them down.
Well,
don't as a disabled veteran, don't I have some special rights?
At the present time, sir, I can't answer that.
Thank you, but in the future, I see people coming up getting tickets, and they turn out to be federal tickets because it was a federal law. They went behind a gate, and they're having to go all the way to Sacramento to fight them. And last year, I almost got a ticket because I went through a road. I went up a road that was not marked from the bottom, and the Forest Service guy, or the Crane Mills Forest Patrol, stopped me and showed me the sign at the top of the hill and said he was going to give me a ticket. And I said, well, follow me down to bottom because I'm going to take a picture where there's no sign that says I can't come up this road.
Very good. That's part of the issue, sir, is we're going to be working with the maps and GIS and try to get all this figured out. It's not something that we can make a determination today. All we can do
I understand that. I just want to let you know, speaking from the veterans, and I know of at least 50
that.
Veterans that couldn't be here today that's hunted with me up in the mountains up here, that we just want to see something done. Somebody stand behind us, and we understand it can't be done in 1 year, 1 month, whatever, but it has to be worked on.
That's what we're starting to do.
And somehow somebody's got to put pressure on Crane Mills and get him into a meeting like this so he has to answer to what he's doing.
We will work toward that goal.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
I grew up here all of my life. I've hunted on both sides of these mountains. When I was a little boy, there was never a gate. Not over there. Not over there. Sierra Pacific started this, I don't know, what, 7, 8 years ago, somewhere in there? Maybe 10. Start putting a gate up. Just like this gentleman said here, testing the waters. 7, 8 years ago, all of a sudden we got some more gates up. We're sitting here right now. We're taxpayers. My grandfather, your grandfather, my dad, your dad's dad, fought and paid taxes for them roads back in the 30s that we've cut on both sides of this mountain to log. Back in the day, the forestry used to lease this land to the loggers. What happened to that? Now all of a sudden they sell it. Well, my dad didn't get a check. I didn't get a check. You guys didn't get a check. Now it becomes a favoritism. I guarantee it, if you was to go ask Mr. Crane or Red Emerson for Sierra Pacific, can I go hunting behind your gate? He would be more than happy to give either one of you a key. And not only just you, your family a key. I feel like he's buying people. But this is our rights. We're losing our rights, not just certain people here.
Well, today starts the process, sir. With the gentleman supplying his maps, we will work forward on this.
I hope so.
We will.
We're losing it not just for us, but our kids. And their kids' kids.
Okay. Very good. Thank you.
I just want to ask one kind of clarifying question. We're talking about hunting on public lands, right? Not on private property.
Right. Absolutely.
Okay. All right. Good.
Because what happens is this stuff borders the National Forest line. He puts right. these gates here. And you're thinking, okay, I'm in a national forest. You go down the road that your right. dad has taken you down. And then the next time you get down to the bottom of the road and all of a sudden it's posted
right.
on the other side of that road. Well, you're left at a T. Well, what do? Do we turn left? Do we turn right? You might turn left, and the next thing you know, you're on somebody's land. And you're getting a citation for it. It's ridiculous, gentlemen.
We can work on it. Yes, sir.
One of the hunters was up here with his father back in the 50s. I started hunting up here in the 70s. I've hunted out of the same camp since 72. And I made a lot of friends in the Forest Service. And I wish I could remember, because this is the point I was trying to make, is I think it's too late for Middle Ridge. Because I think the Forest Service not only gave them the land, if they've dotted all the T's and the laws, they gave them the road. And the road was federal. And if the Forest Service was not working with private industry, that road would still be ours. Crane would still own his property with trees. And we would have access to our other property. And there's a gentleman years ago told me that this would be like this forever. Because we own all these roads. Because Crane owns here, 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 and here. And when they did the cut, the road, they built three or four roads, brought the logs out. They put two or three of the roads to sleep. The other road was left because it's ours, or federal, public's, not ours. So this is what, if the Forest Service was not working with, they wouldn't even do these trades. But if they do the trades, we need to keep the road. The problem wouldn't be here today. And these kind of roads have a name, and I forgot what it is. There, if you're going up on the pavement out of Pascana, you get to Patton Mills, there's a sign that says, go this way to get to Red Bluff. If you were in a hurry to get to the hospital in Red Bluff, this road comes out at
Raglan Ridge.
Comes down Raglan Ridge, but it comes out in Red Bluff at Walmart. So you're right there at the hospital. Sign says to go that way. That road, before you get to Raglan, to go down, two gates. You can't get down that road.
Okay.
That road has a lot of private property on it, besides Crane's, I believe. But it was, at one time, public road, county.
Okay.
The other end is Berry Ridge. It goes down Berry, circles under Berry, under Middle. And Middle is the one we're talking about here that's all locked off. The bottom of Berry, there's a gate on it. It's one of the nicest roads up there as far as being a major. I mean, some are strictly Jeep roads we're talking about here, and some are count, like the county roads, but gravel. There's a gate on that. There's no gate on the other side because there's a big slide. If the slide's ever fixed, a gate will go up.
Okay. Thank you very much, sir. And we will... I think the best course of avenue or course of action right now is for the gentleman to get with Sean and get the maps to Gary and Public Works, get with Gary and one of his engineers and do a working meeting so that everybody understands the roads and the pinpoints and so forth, and then bring a report back to this board.
Remember, to Gary, you're talking Public Works? Yeah. I've already got a map from him. I went there, too, because that same road, talked about, and I believe the number 24N51 that went all the way across, I just knew it had to be a county road. He did not have a record of it.
It probably is not a county road, sir.
Oh, this is a National Forest Service road that went all the way across.
But what I'm saying is that is a starting point, and we get the county roads figured out, up to a point, then we're going to have to figure out what are the federal roads and how that intertwines. This is not, one meeting is not going to fix it all.
Right.
Okay?
We appreciate
it. All we can do is move forward in baby steps, and we will try to do that. Okay? Give us a shot. I'll adjourn right now, and you can stand there and talk to him.
All right.
Very good. Thank you all for being here. We will try to work on your concerns. Thank you.